Blog Talk Radio.
Gideon!
This is Eloy Freeson, found Boston and Trace, as an Adalid.
Come, we tell them this time
I'm ready. He's asking for it.
Every time.
And you can never know. You should know.
Everything that I left there. I've seen many situations. I had to avoid their illusions. Now getting caught in their confusion. Escaping this mental invasion. The man escaped this invasion. It seems as if you're right, so why should I fight? Just to prove a point at this time. I see that there is pride behind all this might. But I first should see what's wrong from what's right. Yeah, it is so hard to express my feelings. Oh Lord, about the misconceptions of my teachers. Prophecies revealing. Oh Lord, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh Lord, help us now that segregation is rising.
Rising.
Well, man, I be reaping them so. Oh, man, I be reaping them so. Ambitious mind, elevating so. Ambitious mind, evil see them as so. Frustration turn good friends into foe. Working day and night trying to overthrow. To counsel together, plot against a brother. Grabbing a barrel who is the mind of a hero.
Why?
Let the wicked get a turn back flow.
Oh, the wicked get a turn back flow.
It seems as if you're right, so why should I fight? Just to prove a point at this time. See that there is pride behind all this fight. So the first you see what's wrong from what's right. Can it be so hard to express my feelings? Oh, yeah, about the misconceptions of my teachers. Oh, boy, can't you see prophecies revealing? Oh, Lord, help us now that segregation is rising.
It's rising.
When some we learn them and teach, they know we are no rich. Ignorance out the full, yet, yet no one speak. Oh, eating the people, they must straight out of sea. Everyone feed themselves, but place on a sea. Give them the glory, the earth to the meek. Hey, hey, if I love, I weak. Harvest time, and when them are going to reap, you think the judge are dead, but he my life on a sea.
Them,
so, yeah. We all got to reap what we sow.
We sow.
Man up to reap what we sow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man up to, I say, oh,
yeah. You know it's Penthouse Gideon music once again. Yeah. Push up, you know,
greetings and welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. So, today wasn't really a good day for the meeting day. I had some issues with allergies, so bear with me. If I start the hacking and coughing and stuff, that's the problems of dealing with this chemical biological warfare we got going on in America. You know, and that's one thing I wanted to go ahead and tie that into what the National Solidarity Committee is doing. I want to talk a little bit more about this Syria thing. You know, U.S. is talking about spending money, going to spend money over there again. You know, they want to stop this dictator, another guy they want to go ahead and put on their list, but they can't stop the goddamn killings and shit in this damn city. Fucking amazing. You know, they talk about people here ain't paying taxes and all that shit. You pay taxes. You pay taxes. If you ain't got no job, you still got to pay taxes and buy stuff in Illinois. So you paying taxes. Don't feed into that goddamn game. Some straight bullshit. try to treat you like you less than a citizen again. But that maybe it just never changed. It's just been like that forever. Just, you ain't never been no citizen here. Your contributions don't mean shit. They'll take your money, but you can't go here and be next to them. So I say, okay, well, fuck it. Let's figure out a way for them to stop taking my money, put my money over here with people like me. You look like me, think like me, create my own shit. Because they do it right in front of you. They got their own game, their own way of doing stuff. But they don't try to tell your black ass that you can't do that in America. So, you know, I can go on about that, but I want to leave the brother the platform for the moment. I'm going to chime in because I'm still looking at some silliness. I'm still checking these news blasts and Reuters and all this other stuff, man, and I just get sick to my stomach. Brother, you there?
Yes, sir, brother. Yo, how you doing, brother?
Well, how you feeling, brother?
You know, day by day, brother. Everything that's going on day by day.
Each show, man, I want you to go ahead and let them know who you are, what you represent, why you on the show right now.
Yes, sir, brother Fakhar Muhammad, representative of the National Solidarity Committee. And what we seek, again, is to bring about an alliance, with the various organizations that is, who are representatives of freedom, justice, and liberation for our people. We're not talking about any particular organization, only organizations, parties, tribes that are strictly for freedom, liberation for our people. That's not including these Uncle Tom organizations. That's not including these go-along, to get-along organizations that's out here. None of that, man. We're strictly about bringing an alliance to really consolidate and build a nation. Those who are serious about building a nation, those who put their mouth in it, put their foot in it, put their body in it, put their soul in it, man, and try to really build a nation, not just talk about it on a platform, not just talk about it to receive some type of grant, not just talk about it to receive some type of applause, but real consolidating, real business as it relates to building this nation.
You know, nation building, right? I want to back up to something, you know. Building a nation. What were some of the things that the Black Party did to go ahead and build a nation, man? How did they reach out to the people?
Man, for example, when you had the original Black Panther Party here, their starting point concept was not on self-defense. And we talk about the original Black Panther Party. The starting concept was not on self-defense. Their starting concept was to create a party which went against the Democratic Party, which went against the Republican Party, or at that time with Brother Malcolm might consider the Dixiecrat, you know. And so they said, hey, if the Democratic Party wasn't helping the masses of our people, the Republican Party was not helping the masses of our people, then maybe we need to create our own party, you know. And so, yeah, up and came the Black Panther Party. However, at that particular time, Huey was smart, Brother Bobby Seale was smart, and they knew at the same time dealing with the realities and the situations of our people. Police terrorism was a thing back then. And so, of course, not only did they educate the masses of the people as it related to the laws of the land, but also the laws as it relate to how to deal with these the police, the pigs. And so they taught the people the law. They showed the people the law. It wasn't just about theorizing to the people. It wasn't just about educating them verbatim about some type of oral education. It was also about practice. And they showed the people how to put that law into place. And so that became, you know, one of the key moments when they did that showing, you know, when they manifest out of their mouth what was going on. And next thing you know, man, the Black Panther Party was known for carrying them things. You know what I'm saying? But as Dr. Huey P. Newton evolved and as the Black Panther Party began to progress in the 70s, Huey also knew he needed to get the party back to its original mind frame, its original way of thinking, and get it away from just the concentration of the gun, but also get it back to the political relevance, the socio-political relevance of the people, and begin to pump it in that mind frame. And so Yeah, the party went through its changes. It went from nationalism, went from communal, you know, all these different nationalism, internationalism, communalism, intercommunalism. It was constantly growing, constantly redefining itself. And so it was to build that party, but at the same time, the party had their minister of defense, their ministry of information, their ministry of this, because it was showing the people, yes, we're here to bring about a party, but at the same time, we need this. And so now today, you see these organizations. You see Nation of Islam, the NPDEM, International Democratic People's Yahuwah Movement, and various other organizations who have their ministry of education, their ministry of culture, their ministry of this, the minister of that, department of this, department of that. And they might be within the realms of their own organization, but at the same time, it was specifically designed to show the people this is what we have to create. We have to create our own ministries, our own departments. It's not a realm of looking at these organizations and what they have, but a realm on solidifying the masses of our people under an example of that particular viewpoint of what these organizations have. So the people need their own Department of Education. People need their own Department of Agriculture. So people don't necessarily have to join particular organizations, but they need that realm of reality of their own Department of Agriculture, their own Department of Health, their own Department of Information to begin the process to build this nation.
Yeah, so how's it going so far? Do you want to go ahead and what's the progress report, or do you want to put that out right now?
Man, I mean, the progress is moving, you know. Slowly but surely it's moving. And so long as it's moving forward, that's all we can ask for right now. You know, we don't want to go backwards. That's something we don't want to do is go backwards, but we definitely want to move forward. It's a slow pace. It takes time for people to really get used to, especially when you're dealing with other organizations, and not just organizations. It's not the organization that you have to deal with. It's the egos. It's the pride. It's the jealousy amongst our own people. You know, when you got organizations, they got their leader, you know, or their president, or their chairman, or their minister, or they this, they that. You know, it's zealous. And sometimes you can be understanding. Sometimes you know, that's all you know. You grew up in a particular organization. You grew up, you know, in a particular atmosphere, and that's all you know. So, of course, you're going to keep the spirit with what you know because that's who taught you. That's who reared you. You know, you never negate your father. You never negate your mother. And what I mean by your father, your mother, those particular realms of education or wisdom that guided you along the way to where you at right now. You know, you would always give thanks and honor to what reared you. And so what we say is we don't want you to negate those parents that reared you. We don't want you to negate, you know, what brought you the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding that you have. But however, we have to recognize as a people that, again, as we stated in the last show, beloved, is that all of us aren't inclined to one particular organization. You know, we got many organizations out here, and so we are not inclined to one particular organization. However, we can agree to these aspects of the organization, different aspects of these organizations we can agree to. So we have to solidify the aspects that we agree on with strategy, with tactic, with development, with progress, and move forward on that discipline. And a key word there is discipline. We have to be disciplined amongst ourselves. But, you know, again, beloved, the progress is moving forward, but it has to move along much quicker than what it is. But, again, we're dealing with not organizations. We're dealing with individuals within organizations. You know, that's like when you say, you against the land of America. No, I'm not against the land of America. I'm against the people who run the land of America. I ain't got nothing against the land, you know, nothing at all. Land, they haven't done nothing to me. It's the administration. It's the people who run the show, you know. And so, again, it's not the organization. It's the people who run these organizations, the people who got they plates out collecting money, the people who just pacifying our people, you know. And so this is what we have to deal with is those elements within the community, within the masses of our people who study, try to keep the masses pacified, and then at the same time dealing with the jealousy, the pride, the egos, you know, the envy, everything that comes along with that, man. It's hard to build a nation. You know, it's really hard to build a nation when you're dealing with that But then once you could squeeze that out the way, you actually begin to see that it really isn't hard to build it. It really isn't hard, because if we sit down at the table, it's not hard for the oppressor to oppress us. It's not hard for him to give us a lack of education. It's not hard for him to give us lack of health care. It's not hard for him to make us impoverished. It's not hard for him to do the things that he's doing. But dig this, even they disagree. They can't stand each other, but they have a goal. They have an objective, and they never let their animosity with each other, they never let their hatred for each other get in the way of their objective, get in the way of their goal, get in the way of their primary main concern, which is to stay rulers, to stay in that type of dictatorship for so long as they can, even if that meant that they know their population is going down. They working so hard to say, well, hell, man, we know we ain't going to be around here that long. Psychologically, we need to get another group in place of us. But they might be what you call so-called minorities that be in the place of us, but their mentality is still the oppressor's mentality. Their way of thinking is still the oppressor's way of thinking. So in reality, no matter if you change the skin color, the oppressor is always going to be there because of the mental block. And this is what we got to fight against, brothers.
You know, and one of them groups, man, because we got some of them out here saying they for good and all this other stuff, and we got them what you call them? Them street warriors. Is that what you call them?
Yeah, that's what they call themselves.
Oh, yeah. But I'll come back to them. You know, right now, I want to go ahead and deal with one group in particular, the NAACP. Do you know the NAACP? Meeting with the Klan members in Wyoming over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that, big brother. But you remember the root of the NAACP. I mean, look at their origins.
How did it change?
You know, it wasn't created by us.
Right.
So,
but they got this brother, you know, he's supposed, his name is Jimmy Simmons. He's the president of the Castor, Wyoming NAACP, met with John Barr, a Ku Klux Klan organizer for Great Falls, Montana. This meeting took place in a hotel in Casper, Wyoming. There ain't a whole lot of people up there, really. You know, and it's supposed to have been under, you know, real tight scrutiny, and newspaper was there. And I see them as really, you know, really kind of irrelevant to the whole, to our cause. And it's really way past time you turn your backs on them and go ahead and push them out the door, man. Because you ain't
right.
Supposed to go ahead and be meeting with nobody like this. I mean, what is it you going to do? You surrendering? I mean, what's the point of this meeting?
Exactly.
I know you wasn't there, but, you know, give me your thoughts and views about that.
And you know, again, like you said, brother, what is the point of having that meeting? And because in reality, you have the meeting, you know, our great ancestor, Frederick Douglass, said it best. Power concedes nothing without a demand, you know. And so you sitting at this meeting, what can you demand? What type of power do you even, are you giving way to? You know, you have no power. You have no demands, you know. To sit back with a Ku Klux Klan member, a Ku Klux Klan leader, representative of not just a Klan, a representative of this government, representative who has many members leading top-notch agencies within the realms of his government. You sitting with somebody who has backup, you know. However,
but he met with
was,
he
so
met
with
this, a direct
meeting. You know, what was this meeting about? You know, who? My thing is with this: when you have these meetings, who's given the permission of these meetings? Who's sitting back? You know, what survey have you gained to sit back and say, okay, who's going to have a meeting with this? You know, especially if you consider yourself a representative of the people. If you're a representative of the people, by which way of the people did you get this particular vote or this particular survey to even have this type of meeting? You know, and on what relevancy is this meeting about? You know, other than that, we shouldn't be having meetings. So what? Never mind them. We need to be having meetings more important as dealing with our communities. That's dealing with the realms within our communities. We don't need to be having no meetings with no Ku Klux Klan members, man. We need to be having meetings with brothers and sisters who shooted and booted on the streets to sit back and gain our nation back. You know, sit back and have, if you want to have a meeting with leadership, Why have a meeting with the leadership of the Klan? Won't you sit back and have a meeting with the leadership of the masses of our people, those who claim leadership amongst the masses of our people? Get us together first. Don't try to get together with the oppressor. Get together with your own people. Then when you get together with the oppressor, you have power. You have some type of continuity, and you have a demand backing you up.
You know, they had a meeting with domestic terrorists, man. And this cat from the John Abar, he paid for $30 for a membership and made a $20 donation. But it says he didn't ask anybody to go ahead and join the Klan. You know, I'm shocked. You know, at that part, not surprised, but shocked. That you would even, you know, just like what you just said, you're going to have a meeting with the oppressor, but you ain't going to go ahead and have a meeting with the masses of people. They've been like that, you know, like kind of like a secluded organization for a long time. They get money, though. They make it
but
money.
They have to. They have to, again, remember, the fruit don't fall far from the tree, you know. What's the root of the NAACP? Again, it goes back. We didn't create the NAACP. We didn't create them. It was a Jewish organization, a white Jewish organization, or a Zionist, white Zionist organization that created this to, in reality, to help pacify us as a people, to give us a little something, but to pacify us in a way that we won't think on a scientific level. We won't think with strategic analysis on how to gain our freedom. It'll be more into intermingling with the people. It'll be more into integrating with the people. It'll be more into, you know, what can we get from the crumbs falling off of the table, not freedom. Yeah, the NAACP don't talk about our freedom and liberation as a people. They don't talk about our people having sovereign land. They don't talk about none of that with our people. They talk about how we better to help each other, how we can better live amongst each other. This is them. So, you know, when we talk about the NAACP, organizations like that, man, whatever they do don't surprise me when it comes to something like that, because, again, the apple don't fall too far from the tree. They ain't doing nothing but what they're supposed to do, you know. That's all they're supposed to do, because they're not a freedom-fighting organization. They're not a freedom-fighting movement. So we really can't be shocked over what they do, because they're not for freedom. They're not for liberation of our people. Again, they don't talk about sovereignty. They don't talk about none of that. So how can we, if they can't talk about that amongst other people, we shouldn't be shocked about anything they talk about outside of that.
Man, you know, this guy said, hey, look, you know, he can pretty much, he joined the NAACP with that $50, but he said they can't join the Klan because you got to be white to join the Klan.
Exactly.
Come on, man, you're going to bring these people in, man. I mean, he's telling you right there. I don't
exactly.
get it.
Dig that, though. But see, dig that, that's power. That's the demand. You know, I could join your organization because you steady wanted to integrate with me. You steady wanted to just get a piece of pie, hoping I could shake your hand, be friends, smile on your face, but at the same time, I want to kill you, get rid of your people, can't stand your people, hope y'all all die, your coons, your niggas, your all that. But he making fun. You know what I'm saying? That's all he do. He just making fun of it. But he gave us $50, gave us $20 donation. He could join the NAACP, but get the catch like you just said. You can't join a Klan unless you white. In other words, you know, understand, nigga, I still got you by the bootstraps. I can do whatever I want to do when it comes to your organizations. God damn it. Hell, I fund your organizations. I give you the funding for your organizations. You see what I'm saying? But with us, you can't do that. We strictly white. We strictly our own. And we ain't got to talk about sovereignty because you own our land.
Man, this guy, man, this Reverend Ed Pinckney's got that campaign going, you know, to go ahead and for people to blow up, go ahead and burn the NAACP membership cards and just to leave them the hell alone, man. And they're notorious for going ahead and keep black folks all messed up, man. And it, like you said, it was started by some Jews, and it wasn't started by us for us. It's the start of the pacifiers to go ahead and keep us docile. And that's, they've been doing a good job of that because they still got a whole lot of people supporting it.
Exactly. You know, and again, we need to have an exposure, some type of exposure committee, man. We need to expose this. You know, one of the things we got a problem with is when we start talking about organizations like the NAACP, you know, first thing a lot of cats want to say is, oh, man, they help with our civil rights. You know, they help gain civil rights. We had a whole civil rights movement, NAACP, the CLC, all these different organizations, man, okay. They was in the civil rights movement. Hell, my aunt was in the civil rights movement. You know what I'm saying? My grandma was in the civil rights movement. All types of cats was in the civil rights movement. But at the same time, because they were within the realms of what we call the civil rights movement, does that make them for us? Does that make them freedom fighters? Does that make them liberators? Does that make them really want you to be free? We can't say that. You know, and we got to stop using this way of pacifying our own selves to sit back and really think hard. Because, again, remember we had this conversation before, Big Brother. We had this conversation about how we allow people to get behind the podiums knowing that we disagree with them, knowing that we know they toms, knowing that we know that they not for the people, but we let them get behind the podiums anyway. We don't boo nobody. We don't sit back and be like, no, you can't talk on the stage. This is a new time. We don't do none of that. We do that amongst ourselves. We sit back and say, oh, man, it's a new era. It's a new time. It's a new generation. We Generation X, or we Generation this. You know, man, we revolutionaries. We this. But we still allow the same bullshit to go on over and over and over again, because even within ourselves, we feel like we ain't got no power. So, I mean, again, brother, when we're dealing with these organizations, we need an exposure program. We need that exposure program. We need to start exposing people for who they are. Put people like Jesse Jackson on fire, man. Start questioning this dude. Start questioning what was his relevancy to the assassination of Dr. King. You know, let's get into those researches. Let's get into all these different things, you know. What's his relevancy on pacifying us? You know, how is it that he's working the way he's working throughout the realms of this government and nothing has happened to this cat? Not to say that we wish anything on our brother, but, I mean, man, look what all has been happening from Brother Malcolm to Brother Khalid to, you know, all these cats that we didn't have, man. You know, now you mean to tell me you call yourself a freedom fighter, you could just, I'm going to get some soldiers. You know, years back when he went to get them soldiers, you know, who was caught in the war, he bringing back soldiers, you know what I'm saying? But you can't free Mumia Abu-Jamal. You can't free, you know what I'm saying? You can't free cats that we have as political prisoners, but you can hop your ass on a plane and go free cats who don't give a damn about your freedom, who don't give a damn about your sovereignty, who don't give a damn about you having justice. You freeing these cats. You freeing cats from an American army who has a long history of keeping your ass oppressed, a long history of keeping you exploited. You can go free them cats, but you can't help free Imam Jamil Alameen. You can't help free Chief Malik. You can't help free Larry Hoover. You can't help free, again, Mumia Abu-Jamal. You can't help free, you know, none of our political prisoners, man. You can't get Assad Shakur off the number two terrorist list.
Right. You know, I look at the government
and do everything that the government wants you to do. Help free their people. Help, and then you get awards or you get, you know, known as the Reverend so and so. Everybody applauding you. But what about our prisoners of war? What about all the shit that's been happening to us? You so cold. Do that. Get them out. Then we can sit back and say, oh, man, you know, we had it wrong about you, brother. But until then, you just another Tom licking ass nigga just like the rest of us.
Mm. Yeah, that's it. You know, you said how I feel, man. So, here, let's go. Let's go into this thing about Syria, man. You see that they about to go ahead and go into war in Syria, man.
Yeah.
So,
here we go.
I'm saying that, oh, man, you know, I paid attention to it, but I never really put it to perspective until this weekend. After dealing with, you go ahead and you look at what's been going on in Chicago here for 30 plus years with the murder rate being high. But they're going to go ahead and spend some more money over there. Shoot money, go ahead and fuck with this guy over there in Syria. And they can't go ahead and stop the shit that's going on over here. You're going to spend more taxpayer dollars to go ahead and settle that situation, which they created, by the way. Let's not get it wrong.
Exactly.
But they created that situation. And here, I'm going to give you a little brief on something, because it was mentioned earlier today. The U.S., in that area, the U.S. destabilized Iran. Okay? Then the Iranians, they got ticked off after so many years. They kicked in the door at the embassy, took the hostages. The U.S. was pissed off with them. Then the U.S. got buddy-buddy with Iraq, with the U.S., you know, they changed their whole leadership in Iraq before Saddam Hussein came. They helped them get in there. But then then the U.S. was going here buddy-buddy with Iraq, and they helped the Iraqis go ahead and send off chemical weapons to the Iranians. But also when the Iraqis went to war against Iran, the U.S. was helping the Iraqis, but they was also going ahead selling weapons to Iran and sending chemical weapons over there to. They was playing both sides of the fence, man.
I mean,
my point is this: if you think this motherfucker is someplace where they all honest and they really go on to really help somebody, they got a hidden agenda. Goddammit.
All the time, but see, I mean. If you want to be honest with, you know, as screwed up as they are, man, you got to give it to them for thinking on that level. Like, hell, man, this is war. We got to play both sides. They remind me of Don King. You know what I'm saying? when Don King was promoting, man, hell, whoever was fighting, hell, he just might be on both of these sides. He might be promoting both damn fighters. At the end,
yeah,
of the day,
he was. A lot of times he was, and then whoever won, he jumped behind them. Right? Wait.
Right. Right, so it's like, you know, they like Don King, man. They like, you know, shit, either way it go, I don't give a shit who getting knocked out. I'm getting the money regardless. I'm getting paid. That's like America, man. You know, they like they don't give a damn. They get paid regardless. But let's look at this, man. I mean, let's really look at this. Here you got these, all this popping off. And by the way, you know, your boy going back to North Korea, robbing. But that's another story. That's a whole other story. But you got these wars popping off, man, and it's all at the end of the day, America got their hand in the cookie jar of everybody, like you say. No matter, I mean, it's just like the Taliban, you know, all with the Taliban, they sitting up in the White House having meetings, you know, having this, having that, eating cookies, you know, sharing coffee.
Yeah.
Drinking whatever they drink. Next thing you know, 9/11 happened. They this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, but at the same time, same with Osama bin Laden, same with Saddam Hussein, same with all these cats who they in the fascinated. Because why? Because they didn't turn their head on them, man. You know, they ain't trying to have this democracy piece. Yeah, you know, they were sitting down at the table with you. They were socializing with you. But at the same time, they didn't want your democracy. They didn't want nothing what you were talking about. They wanted what they want. You know, same thing with America wants. They want what they want. But you want to spread this democracy, this quote-unquote democracy on everybody. People ain't trying that. But here's the heavy hitter. And, you know, normally we don't have this type of conversation. But you dealing with Muslim territories. These Muslims, man, they ain't playing. These Muslims ain't trying to handle democracy. They trying to live according to them. They trying to live according to the rules of God. They trying to live, you know, and whether through the media, America wants to fabricate certain elements pertaining to Islam and give myths about Islam, whatever the case may be. At the end of the day, you take that fight, that war against Islam over there, and you take that fight against the brothers who we have locked up in prison, who turn to Islam, who get conscious, you know, and who become liberators, freedom fighters, you know, and start thinking of freedom for our people. You're not just fighting what they call a religion. You're fighting an ideology. You're fighting a thought of freedom. You're fighting a thought of sovereignty. And that's something that they don't want, you know. So they're trying to show, set by way of example, if we can crush this quote-unquote ideology of freedom, this quote-unquote ideology of justice, then we can replace that with our particular democracy. And that's what they're trying to do. They're setting the example to show us here that, look, this is what we about to do to this. If you feel like bouncing, you feel like jumping, you feel like leaping, then this is what you're going to get. But we have to understand, this is an all-out international war. And when you remember back in the day when they fought against Vietnam, what happened in Vietnam, they couldn't deal with what was going on in Vietnam and what was going on here in America. Now, they got their quote-unquote allies, people popping off. They like, man, we ain't trying to get up in that war with you. France talking about they ain't trying to do it, you know. All they quote-unquote allies stepping down, like, you know, wait for the evidence, wait for the proof. You know, y'all said this when Bush was in office about weapons of mass destruction with Saddam Hussein. You murked him, come to find out, wasn't no weapons of mass destruction. Now you're saying this dude done gassed up all his people. Ain't no proof. There's no evidence. You want to go in and have another war? We saying, you know, we ain't trying to have an Iraq situation over this one, because now, guess what? You mess with Syria, you messing with China's investment. You messing with all these different cats' investment, because China's at the point where China don't need America. Shit, everything.
Right, you know, and it's something else too. I'm hoping China. I come across it, because I think it's had something to do. Okay, keeping that area unstable is not so much about going ahead, because I feel they don't give a damn about him gassing them people. It's got something to do with money, and somehow the way they're going to make a profit off this thing. Ain't got shit
it's
to do
economic.
Gas them. If they really worried about these so-called tyrants and all this other shit, they go ahead to look. First, you got to look within yourself. But you got people throughout the rest of this planet that the U.S. is turning their backs on, letting them do all kinds of crazy shit. They ain't doing nothing.
Man, they
it's
trying.
Got something
it's,
to do with
it's,
money.
It's all economics. That's all it's been about. All economics. That's all it's been about. If they can control that land, that's more minerals. That's more resources. That's all it's about. But see, they're not giving up that, because you mess with Syria, you got to mess with Iran. You got to mess with Russia. You got to mess with China. All these cats got investment in that, man. They ain't trying to, you know, America's so gung-ho that they forget, man, it's a whole other realm out there. Now, ask the question, people, we had this debate on the street. People keep talking about how powerful America is, but at the same time, why they ain't messing with North Korea? North Korea then basically told them, look, man, you touch us, we knock California off the map. We can knock this off the map. We can take this off the map. Next thing you know, in other news, in Afghanistan, such a whole conversation changed, because they know they ain't playing.
You know what, wait, but you got to look at it this way with North Korea. I mean, North Korea is also still going to be backed by China. China go ahead and carry a lot of U.S. purse strings. You know, they still got a lot of money laying out. You know, the U.S. borrowed a lot of money from China. But it's like this. North Korea is not... They gonna keep on going ahead and pushing it because they can, because they got them people backing them. And from what the reports that they put out, you know, the U.S. want to go ahead. They gotta have another boogeyman to justify them keep on doing the little bullshit they're doing.
Exactly.
We need to go
exactly.
ahead and protect you against these evil people. And at the same time, they gas some motherfuckers in the U.S. They going ahead and putting up nuclear shit in fucking neighborhoods, giving people cancers and all kinds of shit. All kinds of stuff, crazy, fucked up stuff going over here. And ain't nobody recognizing that shit. But then they want to go and tell you they got to protect you against these international fools. Hey, what's going on right here with all these people down here in this motherfucker every damn day? I don't, you know, they the biggest fucking hypocrites on the fucking block.
Exactly. You know, I was looking at RT News. I was reading some things on there and Al Jazeera TV. And China even said, you know, granted, they might disagree with some of the things that's coming out of North Korea's mouth. But the one thing China did say, if it did have to come down to anything, they're going to help their Asian brothers.
That's right. Yeah. So look at what's going on over there. Look at what's going on over there with this Syria thing here. Now, these Arabs are still basically, and I'm going to tell you something else. I bet you any damn thing that a lot of that information about them gassing their own people over there, Israel is deep involved in fucking that shit up.
Oh,
all right? You got these. Let's not go ahead and turn your backs on the shit they done all this time. Because something bugs me more than anything. When they go ahead and say, hey, look, Hezbollah and all these other people, all these other groups over there, send a few rockets over in Israel. But then you go ahead and see these motherfuckers, the rockets, if you go ahead and pay attention to the rockets that these cats send out, man, they ain't shit. They may as well go ahead and put a bag of firecrackers in there and shoot them in a slingshot. But when Israel retaliates, them motherfuckers come with all kinds of fucking flying this and stuff in there. Them Arab groups ain't got planes at all. Not the ones they fighting against.
Mm-hmm.
So I really feel that Israel got something else involved in it. This is all for fucking money, man. Let me play this. Let's play this quick break. Quick, take a quick break. I need to get a breather.
There was two kinds of slaves. There was the house Negro and the field Negro. The house Negro, they lived in the house with master. They dressed pretty good. They ate good because they ate his food. But he left. They lived in the attic or the basement, but still they lived near their master. And they loved their master more than the master loved himself. They would give their life to save their master's house quicker than the master would. The house Negro, the master said, we got a good house here. The house Negro said, yeah, we got a good house here. Whenever the master said we, he said we. That's how you can tell a house Negro. If the master's house caught on fire, the house Negro would fight harder to put the blaze out than the master would. If the master got sick, the house Negro would say, what's the matter, boss? We sick. We sick. He identified himself with his master more than his master identified with himself. And if you came to the house Negro and said, let's run away, let's escape, let's separate, the house Negro would look at you and say, man, you crazy. What you mean, separate? Where is there a better house than this? Where can I wear better clothes than this? Where can I eat better food than this? That was that house Negro. In those days, he was called a house nigger. And that's what we call him today, because we still got some house niggers running around here. This modern house Negro loves his master. He wants to live near him. He'll pay three times as much as the house is worth just to live near his master. And then brag about, I'm the only Negro out here. I'm the only one on my job. I'm the only one in this school. You're nothing but a house Negro. And if someone come to you right now and say, let's separate, you say the same thing that the house Negro said on the plantation. What you mean, separate? From America? This good white man? Where you gonna get a better job than you get here? I mean, this is what you say. I ain't left nothing in Africa. That's what you say. Why, you left your mind in Africa. On that same plantation, there was the field Negro. The field Negro, those were the masses. There was always more Negroes in the field than there was Negroes in the house. The Negro in the field caught hell. He ate leftovers. In the house, they ate high up on the hog. The Negro in the field didn't get nothing but what was left of the insides of the hog. They call them Shetlands nowadays. In those days, they call them what they were, guts. That's what you were, a gut eater. And some of you are still gut eaters. The field Negro was beaten from morning till night. He lived in a shack, in a hut. He wore cast-off clothes. And he hated his master. I say he hated his master. He was intelligent. That house Negro loved his master. But that field Negro, remember, they were in the majority. And they hated the master.
when the house caught on fire, he didn't try and put it out. That field Negro prayed for a wind, for a breeze. When the master got sick, the field Negro prayed that he died. If someone come to the field Negro and said, let's separate, let's run, he didn't say, where are we going? He said, any place is better than here. You got field Negroes in America today. I'm a field Negro. Masters of the field Negroes. When they see this man's house on fire, you don't hear these little Negroes talking about our government is in trouble. They say the government is in trouble. Imagine a Negro, our government. I even heard one say our astronauts. They won't even let him near the plant. And our astronauts. That's a Negro that's out of his mind. That's a Negro that's out of his mind.
Just as the slave master that day, you come, the house Negro, to keep the field Negro in check. The same old slave master today has Negroes who are nothing but modern Uncle Toms, 20th century Uncle Toms, to keep you and me in check, keep us under control, keep us passive and peaceful. In nonviolence. That's Tom making you nonviolent. It's like when you go to the dentist and the man is going to take your tooth. You're going to fight him when he starts to. So they squirt some stuff in your jaw called Novocaine to make you think they're not doing anything to you. So you sit there and because you got all that Novocaine in your jaw, you suffer peacefully. There's nothing in our book, the Quran, as you call it, Koran, teaches us to suffer peacefully. Our religion teaches us to be intelligent, be peaceful, be courteous, obey the law, respect everyone. But if someone puts his hand on you, send him to the cemetery. That's a good religion. In fact, that's that old time religion. That's the one that Ma and Pa used to talk about. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, and a head for a head, and a life for a life. That's a good religion. And then anybody, no one, presents that kind of religion being taught but a wolf who intends to make you his meat. This is the way it is with the white man in America. He's a wolf, and you a sheep. Anytime a shepherd, a pastor, teach you and me not to run from the white man, and at the same time teachers don't fight the white man, he's a traitor to you and me. Don't lay down our life all by itself. No. Preserve your life. It's the best thing you got. And if you got to give it up, let it be Ethan Stephen.
Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. That call-in number is 347-215-8465. Brother, you still there?
Yes, sir, big brother.
Yes, yes. How you like that piece, man?
Oh, man. Hey, it's funny. I was just looking at a YouTube video, Malcolm X speeches, not too long ago, man, and it was about 2 hours and 10 minutes long, and I just reared it in, man. 2 hours went so fast, man, but I was just loving it, man. You know, that's I look at Brother Malcolm as my teacher. You know, I never had a chance to meet the brother, obviously, but at the same time, I consider him my teacher, you know, I'm a student of that brother and constantly learning from that brother, just as well as many of our ancestors that has transcended within the realms and within the ranks of our struggle.
Yeah, there you go, there you go. Because there you go, that's where we get a lot of this from, don't you agree?
Oh, most definitely, most definitely. You know, we're not saying nothing. And we say this all the time, you know, many of us that's out here, man, pushing for the struggle, we're not saying nothing more different than what Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey said, no different than what Prophet Noble Jew Ali said, no different than what Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, no different than what Brother Elhard Malik Shabazz, Brother Malcolm X said, or Dr. Khalid, Dr. Huey P. Newton, or any of them. You know, we just basically, man, we all remind us, you know, we pretty much know what we need to do. It's just about doing it, you know what I mean? And that's where we at right now in this struggle. We all know what we need to do. That's no question. I always, you know, I disagree with cats who sit back and say, man, we just don't know. We know. We just don't know how. You know what I'm saying? And we just don't know how. We don't know where to start, you know. And even if we do know where to start, man, again, we got to deal with certain elements that some of us just don't want to deal with. You know, we don't want to have the time to be dealing with jealousy and envy and all that type of stuff, man. So, you know, we know what to do. It's just about doing it, big brother.
So, so that leads me to, hey, look, you know, there is a need for some way to go ahead and bring us together. And that's what you're doing with the National Solidarity Committee.
Most definitely, most definitely. You know, we got inspired, of course, again, we got inspired by the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Dr. Huey P. Newton, Dr. Khalid Muhammad, and many others who came before us. You know, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, he said, go to all your lawyers, your doctors, and your ministers, and talk this unto them. He said, argue with them until they perspire confession. He said, go back again and again and talk until you get your man and let him work for a nation. He said, always talk about a nation. Always feel that you see the nation. The sovereign of a people is in the nation. Then he went on and he said, it is the result of a people forming a society of their own to govern themselves and to achieve their ends. Make your nation the highest expression of human idealism, then live up to it. You know, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said, let us have a special meeting for special things, not an open meeting saying that we're going to do and do nothing. He said, let's go get a room, sit down face to face, and tell each other what we can do and what we must do right away. He said, we got to get in a room someplace and look each other in the eye and tell each other what we can do and what each can't do, you know. And so when you listen to those words, an Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, again, man, we just remind us of what we should do, because both of our fathers right there was correct, you know. A, we can't, everything we do, we gotta look at it with the visual perspective of not on an individual level. We can't think individualism. We got to think on the entire mass level, the national level. We got to think as a nation. You know, what benefits me has to benefit the masses of my people. You know, I can't have something that benefit me but don't benefit the masses of the people, because now I'm counter-revolutionary to my people, and we don't need that. At the same time, those words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is very dear to what is needed today, because we need to have that meeting. We need to have that special meeting.
Let me slow you down real quick. So what do you say to those people who go ahead and say, well, hey, look, you're an American citizen. You need to be making your life better right here in America. I mean, I go ahead and get your thoughts, and I want you to let me go ahead and
again,
tell you how.
You know, if again, you know, if I was an American citizen, I wouldn't be sitting back fighting in 2007 whether or not we could still have a right to vote. You know, if I was an American citizen, I wouldn't be sitting back talking about, you know, can we have better education? You know, why is it education in the city worse than education in the suburbs? You know, if I was an American citizen, I wouldn't have to sit back, first of all, and have any type of march or protest pertaining to my freedom, pertaining to justice, pertaining to any type of equality if I was an American citizen. If I was an American citizen, I wouldn't have to deal with none of what we're dealing with in this struggle. We wouldn't have to have, again, these protests, these marches, these campaigns. There would have been no need for Marcus Garvey, for Malcolm X, for Elijah Muhammad, for Noble Jew Ali, for Black Panther Party, Dr. Khalid, Dr. Huey P. Newton, Patrice Lumumba, all these cats from on an international level, from a national level to a local level, you know, there would be no need for none of this. No individuals, no parties, no organizations, no tribe had we been American, quote unquote, citizens. You know, so to sit back and say, well, you know, you're an American citizen, that has to really be examined, because are you? Are you? What does that mean? What does it mean to be an American citizen when the very country that you claim never looked at you as a full human being in the first place? Never looked at you as they only looked at you as 3/5 of a human. That to this day, you think slavery has ended, but when you read your Constitution, the Constitution clearly states and tells you that slavery exists. Clearly tells you that, you know. And, you know, I had this conversation the other day with a sister out on the street, and she got to talking about voting. You know, she had some type of pad voting, you know, to gather votes, and asking people if they had the chance to vote for Obama, would they vote again to put him in office. So I asked the sister, I said, well, sister, do you really believe you put Obama in office? And this just goes to show on how uneducated we are in certain realms as it relates to this political system. And I asked the sister, I said, sister, you really believe you put that man in office? She said, yeah, I voted for him both times. You know, and my vote counted to help him get in office. I said, well, what is it that puts him in office? Is it your vote? I said, is it have you not heard of the popularity vote and the Electoral College? I said, don't you know, sister, there's no such thing as you voting that man in the office. This all deals with the Electoral College. Your vote is only a popularity vote. This only goes to show how many niggas like him. That's it. How many niggas like this cat? How many white people like this cat? How many Asians like this? How many whatever like this particular dude? Don't matter how many vote. That's just the popularity. It's the Electoral College. She didn't know nothing about that. She never read that section within the realms of the literature of the Constitution, within the realms of none of that. She haven't read none of that.
Right.
And so, you know, again, this is why I love our brothers, the Morris Science Temple of America, because them brothers throw it down. They explain to you. They educate our brothers, man. Educate our sisters as it relates to citizenship. Defining what a citizen is. Defining what citizenship means. Defining what sovereignty means. Defining what it means to be a sovereign people. You know what I mean? And so we need that type of education because, man, our people are lost when it comes to things of that nature. Because again, back to your original question, you know, I'm not a citizen of this country. I can't be a citizen of this country. I'm continuing to fight for my damn freedom every goddamn day. I don't see white people fight for their damn freedom. I don't see white people. They fighting to keep they fighting to stay where they at. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got nothing to do with it. You know, so I can't call myself a citizen, man, and you know, walk around, you know, with like Dr. King, you know, walking around with a sign talking about I'm a man. You know what I'm saying? And I'm a citizen, but I gotta sit and tell you I'm a man. I'm a grown ass man walking around with a sign that say I'm a man. Come on, man. Come on. You know what I'm saying? What kind of shit is that? But you a citizen.
Yeah. You hit it. That's what I was gonna allude to. If you didn't go there, that's where I was going. You know, that's exactly where I was going. Because if you call yourself a citizen, you wouldn't have to be going ahead and doing all the shit you're doing to go ahead and they just
going
part of your Rights Act. If you look at the Constitution, there wouldn't have been these amendments. You would have went written in there to this motherfucker from the beginning.
All
you know,
day.
So and I'm like,
there
man,
y'all.
There
wouldn't have been a need for none of that. No, it wouldn't have been a need for a Dr. King or Malcolm X. Wouldn't have been a need for, you know, teachings of us to stay black, you know, and black power and all that type of stuff. We wouldn't need this if we were citizens of this. If there was true equality, true, you know, this utopian view that America likes to give every damn body, if that really was the case, there would have been no need of that. None whatsoever.
None whatsoever. That's a bunch of bullshit.
But you get as just as recent, we still fighting to keep voting rights? Are you fucking kidding me? Niggas still fighting for this shit. It's 2013. And you fighting to keep some goddamn voting rights? You mean to tell me they still having these conversations? Ah, hell, you know. Damn it, Tom, it's time for these niggas to renew their voting rights. What shall we do? You know,
and every time you looked up, they go ahead moving the lines around. You know, they're moving the goalposts as you speak, right?
Then when they give it to you, you act like you gained some shit. Oh, we won. We got our voting rights. It's another victory. What kind of bullshit? hell is that a goddamn victory? I mean, these troops basically, you know, it's like I'm gonna give you your freedom. You didn't take
right.
your damn freedom. You know what I'm saying? You didn't fight.
I mean,
you gotta go ahead and put it like this.
I mean, a person is in charge of you going ahead making moves and doing this when it's all right for them, but you can't hardly do this shit. You know, you can't move around. You can't do that. You can't even, you really can't open a business without their approval. And then when you go ahead and get it, they got a serious, they've always had it, a serious media apparatus to go ahead and tear your shit up. And they got so
exactly.
many people, they got so many black people going and repeating the same shit. I can't be buying nothing from niggas. You dumbass motherfucker. You need to be
Man.
Supporting this. Because a lot of the niggas out here doing stuff are really trying to go ahead and do something for the neighborhood, for the community.
Exactly. Exactly.
Trying to go ahead and
exactly.
do something. Thank you. If you watch some of these black folks go ahead and try and prosper, most of them live around you. They want to go ahead and stay there. But how the fuck can you go ahead and stay there when they got to go ahead and worry about, you know, you breaking in their shit while they trying to work hard all the fucking time? They don't want to. Me going ahead going into business, I don't want to work for these motherfuckers, man. That's why I love
yeah,
going ahead
no,
with doing what I was doing,
man.
Shit, you know, because I didn't
yeah.
have to go ahead and deal with a lot of these motherfuckers. I was getting a lot of my shit from blacks and a few other groups, but I had to listen to a lot of bullshit when I came to work. I had to listen to
mm-hmm.
a bastard going ahead and talking shit to me no more. You know, hey, you were late, you were this and that, you took too much time on your break, whatever the fuck. I mean, what the fuck does it matter? We ain't doing shit any goddamn way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going ahead working my ass off to make you go ahead, you look good, and your fucking boss richer. I mean, you
right.
got to look at the fucking wealth gap in this country. It's like 400,
exactly.
500% from the person at the top to the bastard at the bottom. And I call
right,
you a
exactly.
bastard if you want to go ahead and stick with this motherfucking shit. Pull your head out
yeah,
your ass.
That's the thing. This is what we talk about, you know, again. The little things that's granted to us. Now, keep in mind what I just said. The things that are granted to us.
I'm with
we
you.
Claim it. We claim it as a victory, you know, like we did some shit, you know what I'm saying? Like we done set up and gained some, you know, and it's like, come on now, you know, you ain't fought for a damn thing. You know what I mean? These, again, are ways for people to just pacify us and not have us to build on a level that we should really be building, which is on national level, building a nation. Again, you know, I had this conversation the other day. Brother was saying, do you support black-owned banks? You know, you support Seaway, that's a black-owned bank, and all these other banks. I told the brother, I said, brother, I'm not trying to offend you, brother. I said, but I want to ask a question. I said, because I don't see a black-owned bank nowhere. I can't find a black-owned bank. What do you mean that? Do I support black-owned banks? The brother said, brother, but you don't know we got black-owned banks? I said, brother, what currency goes through that bank? What currency float through that bank, brother? I said, because if you got a black-owned bank, that means you control the policies of that bank. You control the mandates of that bank. You control whether or not the IRS dictate what happens with through that bank. You control whether or not the federal government has any type of what type of involvement, if ands or limitations do they have within the realms of that bank. You don't control a goddamn thing. You just got a brother over the damn bank who might be a CEO or who might have this high powered, you know, position. But again, it's not your currency. That's the American currency. That's their dollars flowing through that damn bank. It ain't your currency. That ain't no African currency. Ain't no gold or bullion flowing through that damn bank. Ain't no, you know what I'm saying, ain't no African resources coming through that bank. It's all American currency. And the papers that you sign to even get that damn bank are papers that's coming from the federal government, papers that's coming from the oppressor's administration for you to sign. Not no shit that you giving them to sign and limited them on what they can do to trade with you. That's not what's happening. They control that shit. So we got to be real. We have to begin to redefine a lot of the shit that we do, brother. And that's just real talk. A lot of stuff that we say, we got to really look at, you know, damn, it's really not a black-owned bank. You know what I mean? Let's be real. Where is a black-owned bank at? You know, that's just like, you know, that's like me getting a McDonald's, you know, and I got a franchise. My McDonald's is owned You know, let's say if I had that McDonald's on 79th and King Drive. Man, brother got a McDonald's. He owned the McDonald's on 79th and King Drive. Oh, no damn McDonald's. This happened to be over this particular McDonald's. That ain't my shit. That ain't my burgers that come through that mug. That ain't my sauce. You know what I'm saying? All everything that's up in there, the paperwork, I had to go through McDonald's to get that shit. I had to sign their paperwork. I had to sign whatever it is I had to sign. I had to pay them whatever I had to pay in order to get that McDonald's. See what I'm saying? That's not my McDonald's. That's their McDonald's that I'm just happen to be one who renting that shit out, or one who just put up one for them to make more money. Now I got them McDonald's number 1,501,000,001. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't my shit. It's they shit that I'm helping to expand with them, just like black-owned banks. That ain't your bank. That's just another bank in the damn community that's helping to expand their currency. Has nothing to do with your currency because you don't have a currency. Has nothing to do with your minerals and your resources because that ain't flowing through there. You just helping them to expand the flow of their money through your community.
But they say, but they say you in America. That means you an American citizen again. See that? But they say you in America. You American citizen. So you do all that.
You know, tell it to the brothers that got lynched. Tell it to the brothers that's hanging. You know, that was hanging in them trees, and the little children that was hanging in the trees when we was getting lynched. You know, in the South. You know, all them. You know, tell that to them. I'm pretty sure they was American citizens too.
Tell it to
brothers and sisters that lost their lives because of COINTELPRO, the counterintelligence program. Tell it to the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Tell it to Prophet Noble Jew Ali. Tell it to all that we've had, man, in this struggle. I'm pretty sure, according to the American documents, they were all American citizens.
Well, Mosiah Garvey. Yeah.
Tell that to
Dr. King. Was from Jamaica.
Yeah, he was from Jamaica. Tell that to Dr. King. You know,
King.
Dr. King was a U.S. Citizen, was he not? Until he started running his mouth on what he disagreed with.
Oh yeah, man. With our next show, man, I'm gonna go ahead and get those clips of some stuff that people ain't heard about King, and some of his speeches that people ain't heard, because they take you down that cherry picket, and they take you down that path, you know, and that path that makes you go ahead and say, oh, King was a sellout. But hell no, I did with these speeches. You can understand why he was the number one motherfucker in America that they had to get rid of. Not none of this weak ass shit that you hear, and not none of all that old bullshit. And some of this stuff, like the one I got when he's talking about coming to get his check, man, that blows him out the water. And I didn't hear none of that. I'm still waiting to hear some of that. Some of the stuff from that speech.
They're not gonna show that. They're not gonna let you hear that. Nor do they want you to see the video. They'd rather you research it on your own, but to make it public and all that.
No.
This
what ticked me off with this past week, last week, when you was hearing all that shit about them, that they marched to Washington, all this shit, 50-year anniversary and all of this shit. Man, people just didn't know what King was about, and his fucking kids made me mad as hell, because not one of them repeat none of that shit. He said he broke it down on how the U.S. has put the farmers together, educated them, gave them equipment, gave them loans, and still paying the motherfuckers. That system, he said that back there over 50 years ago, that system is still going on to this fucking day. And
exactly.
His kids ain't said a goddamn thing about it. Nothing.
See, remember, brother, that's because, again, it all goes back to the pacification of us as a people. They want you to keep dreaming. And so, you know, the focus has to stay related to the I Have a Dream. Why? Because Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech has become our reality. Now we got dreams. Well, I have a dream that one day I'll do this. You know, we're telling our children, believe that you can do such and such. You know, we giving our children dreams. We got dreams. Everybody walking around with a damn dream, following in the dream footstep, but not knowing that it went beyond the dream. It went beyond just talking about a damn dream to starting to talk about freedom. Starting to talk about, you know, some bullshit. You know, it ain't about this no more. We got to do our own thing. You know, that's the King they don't want you to hear. Everything they don't want you to sit back and listen to, they got to keep it on the drain piece because, you know, if they switch it over, brother, now people go start scratching their heads like, man, what's really, you know, what really went down? What really happened? You know, over and over and over, they could do a thing on JFK all day long. You know how many damn documentaries it is out on assassination JFK? Why he got assassinated? Who assassinated him? Was it the Secret Service agent that accidentally shot him? Or was it the Secret Service agent that did shoot him? Was it this? Was it that? Where did it come from? Nobody's going to do an investigation on the speeches of Dr. Martin Luther King. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to talk about his speeches. Nobody's going to sit back and really critique and analyze this brother's last couple of speeches that he made because they were so potent that it related to, again, remember I said last week, if we really critique his speeches and really look at how powerful his speeches was before his assassination, every T-shirt that's out here with Obama and Dr. King on it talking about the dream has been fulfilled, you have to burn all them damn shirts. Every last one of them damn shirts, you have to burn because everybody walking around with that shirt will just take the damn shirt off and just toss it because it's hypocrisy. It's full of shit. Point blank.
Man, oh man, I need some shirts. King said, hey, look, we're going to Washington to get our check. And I don't see nobody else repeating that stuff, all these big people, all these individuals who went over to Washington.
What dream has been fulfilled? If you walk around with these shirts on, the dream has been fulfilled. What dream? I asked that question one time. So what dream has been fulfilled?
Right.
Ah, you know, we got a black president. That's not answering the question. What dream has been fulfilled that you could walk around with a shirt that say, the dream has been fulfilled? What dream?
I don't think King was dreaming about going ahead and having a black president. I mean, that ain't no U.S. president really helped us, man. And I try to tell people that, and people always try to go ahead and debate me or go ahead and tell me, hey, you got this. Some individual told me the other day, well, lynching stopped. I said, nigga, you fucking nuts. They still lynching people right now. Okay?
Exactly.
You got some of these goddamn places where they go ahead lynching. They people lynching people in jails as we speak.
Man, look, I tell people all the time now. Now, people so happy about Obama being in office. Now it's half and half. Man, he ain't doing nothing for black folks. He ain't doing. Did you expect him to do anything for us? I mean, here you go.
But somebody
so
else told me this, man. Now listen. He said this one brother was saying that hey, look, you know, black folks didn't come to Obama with an agenda. What fucking agenda?
I mean,
for me, I didn't really jump on that. I just feel like this. What goddamn agenda do we need to come to this man with when he lived in this goddamn city? He lived in Chicago. He walked these fucking streets. So he knew what the fucking problems was. He was a community organizer. He worked out here. He worked in Roseland, dog. He knew what the fuck was going on. Now, you can't tell me that we need to go ahead and come in with a list of demands or whatever. When you know what was going on, he just proved to me that, hey, look, he's following the policies of every U.S. president when it comes to black folks in America.
You remember when, who was it? I want to say Trayvon. I think it was Trayvon Martin. It was one of them cats when he finally broke his silence, quote unquote, broke his silence, and he had to come out and say something because pretty much he was being, quote unquote, pressured to just come on out and say something against the shooting violence. And, you know, he came out, they could have been my son, they, this and that, lots of skippy. But even still, you could tell. And I often say this, you know, and I know how the government is. I know how this, you know, he's just another, he's not the president, man. He's just a front, you know, a forerunner. He's just some cat up front for you to look at and, you know, other people pulling the string. Because you can sit back, man, even when you watch that, you could tell he was searching for something. Man, I got to make sure I say this, make sure I say that. You know, if he was truly in power, if he was truly the president, if he truly was over all of this, man, it would have been no holds barred. He could say whatever the hell he said because that's his people. You know what I'm saying? That's his people. You know, I have to say
you
this.
You know, somebody else threw something at me, man. They was trying to say, well,
he can't do this.
He had to go through the Congress and all the other shit. You know, fuck that. That's bullshit, too. Executive orders are weigh a whole lot of other shit, especially when there's a need.
Go through Congress? When Bush was in office, man, his whole attitude was, we do what the hell we want to do. That was his whole attitude while he was in office. We do what the hell we want to do. We say what we want to say, take it or leave it. That's how he was.
They had a piece on HBO on Dick Cheney the other day, man, and I didn't catch all of it. I wanted to catch it from the beginning. And listening to what this motherfucker was saying, he had no aggression doing what he's doing. He said he did shit to go ahead. This was Cheney's attitude throughout the whole piece was he did stuff to go ahead and protect the American people. But why is it, my question to him is, why is it that a lot of people you associated got richer? I don't understand how you're going ahead. You're supposed to be going ahead and protecting the American people when your pockets are getting fat. That ain't supposed to be part of the deal.
They gonna do that. They have to do that. That's a name. You know, that's a nature to add a little something to the project. But again, remember, they get an objective. They didn't give a damn. They could care less about what the UN said. They care less about what Congress said. The Senate said. They don't give a damn. That administration did what the hell they wanted to do, how they wanted to do it, and they got on TV and told you, this is what we're doing. Shaking his, bobbing his damn head up and down, talking about Bush. Bobbing his head up and down and shit, telling you this is what he gonna do, and then smirk you off like, hey, you know, stop me. That's what the hell.
Yeah, brother,
come
here. Let's who you are again. This is a conversation with my brother Fakhar Muhammad of the National Solidarity Committee. Tell him what you represent.
Say that again, big brother.
I said, tell him what you represent, because I'm gonna go ahead and let people know that this is a conversation between you and myself.
Oh yeah, yes sir. We conversating. Come on in on the line. You know, the whole piece we want to really talk about is how we can come together and unite and solidify ourselves, you know, under a banner without negating our organizations and just really solidifying ourselves. How can we build this nation? Do we need our own Department of Education, our own Department of Agriculture, our own Department of Information, Department of Public Affairs? You know, this is what we're seeking in the National Solidarity Committee, to bring that about. Why can't we galvanize our own teachers in the communities who have private schools? Why can't we galvanize them to create our own Department of Education? Why can't we galvanize our economists within the realms of the community, those who are good at finance? Why can't we galvanize them and create our own Department of Finance? These are the things that we're talking about within the realms of the National Solidarity Committee. My brother Fakhar Muhammad, servant and comrade, your brother of the people, and again, just seeking this solidifying alliance with all of our comrades, all of our organizations, our parties, our tribes that's out there, and once again, not negating, be who you are. You know, if you're in a particular organization, stay in that particular organization. Let that particular organization grow and develop. However, at the same time, we got to understand, we need a foundation that we all can agree on as a nation. We may be different tribes, we may be different organizations or what have you, but we need to have that common unison of communications. We need to have that common unison of leadership, that common unison of putting together our own charter, our own platform, our own discipline, you know. And so this is what the National Solidarity Committee, again, is all about, building an alliance, building our nation. What we want to do is help bring the structures. That's all. We want to bring that blueprint. We want to bring the structural component of building that nation, put these departments together.
You know, one thing I've noticed is that you got a lot of people out here talking, and I really feel that, hey, look, just that word you put out there just a little while ago, a few words you said to deal with, but structure. That structure, I mean, that structure component is really not there, and it's not really organizing, because, if, you know, I think you and I talked about it before. When you talk about structure, you know, as far as, like, this country is concerned, you got these communities, these communities going into the counties and then going into the city, then become the states, I mean, form the United States. Did I leave out something?
Yeah, you know, think about us going into the communities. I'm going to just bring it back around now. When we go into the communities, you know, a lot of times we might go somewhere and we say, hey, all right, we got to hit these communities. Everybody, we're going to go out here. We're going to pass this out, and we're going to talk to the people. But, however, we didn't do no type of training. You know, we didn't assess who can go out there and talk to the people. You know, you might have cats going out there, they ain't talking to the people, they're attacking the people. You know, can they talk to the people, first and foremost? That's number one. Did we put any training class together dealing with that specific relevancy of how to deal with the people? You know, the discipline involved in that. What is the code of standard? What is the standards we operating by? You know, do we have a standard operating procedures by way of which we utilize out here in these streets? You know, how are we operating? Yes, we might be going out here and I represent this and you represent that and she represent this and he represent that, but what foundation are we walking on together? Is there a line of communication that we all agree on? Is there, in the event that anything goes down, do we have a common communicative level? Do we have a distress signal? Do we have this? Do we have that? These are the things that, you know, we talk about in the National Solidarity Committee because, again, the main focus is in building this nation, you know. So we sit back and we say, okay, well, we got to have these particular elements. We got to have, of course, a platform, you know. We got to have what we call leadership principles, you know. What makes a leadership? You got to have discipline, you know. One of the things, for example, when you go within the realms of the National Solidarity Committee, one of the things we say within the realms of discipline, we say no National Solidarity Committee member may at any time divide the masses from the National Solidarity Committee, divide the National Solidarity Committee with negative words or action, become an individualist, having one's own pride, ego, and arrogance take precedence, absolutely no opportunistic tendencies. Now, one of the key important ingredients is what? Disregard, no National Solidarity Committee may member at any time have disregard or fail to manifest the discipline, general order, standard operating procedures laid down by membership of the National Solidarity Committee. Now, what is the membership of the National Solidarity Committee? Membership of the National Solidarity Committee is the organizations that involve themselves with the National Solidarity Committee or individuals that involve themselves with National Solidarity Committee. That means it must have a two-thirds majority rule vote for you to even get within the realms of the National Solidarity Committee, because you have to be a fit. Are you for the people? You know, are you strictly for freedom and liberation? We have to assess who you are, what you about, what works have you put in, you know, what are you trying to put in, what do you, you know, what is your background? You know what I mean? But, again, there has to be a platform that we all agree on, discipline that we all agree on. So what did we do? We took various fields. For example, we looked at the nation. The nation had what's called general orders. Now, the general orders is nothing new to people outside of the Nation of Islam, because many of our people have been in the Army. They've been in the, you know, Navy. They've been in different mechanisms within the realm of military or army atmosphere of the government. They're familiar with what's called general orders. So what we said was, man, we got thousands of our people, brothers and sisters within the ranks of the nation who deal with general orders, who deal with realms of lieutenants and so forth. Let's keep that. Let's keep that, because that's a good strategy of communications. You know what I mean? These are certain elements about where in which we can go back and communicate on that level, so that even if I'm in the Black Panther Party, this cat in the Nation of Islam, we can still communicate with each other on a military level. We still can communicate each other on common grounds. We know what we're talking about, although we're from different backgrounds as it relates organizationally. We still have communicative skill. And so this is what we say in the National Solidarity Committee, is just that no matter what, we need that representative that's like the United Nations to America, the United Nations to Israel, and the galvanizing of many other countries throughout the land. We need our own United Nations. We need our own, you know, African Union. And so this is what we say. We say, hey, well, let's build this National Solidarity Committee, and we want to try to make the National Solidarity Committee the umbrella by way of which these other organizations can come. We can all come up under a specific umbrella and have the National Solidarity Committee. Again, African continent, our African brothers and sisters have the African Union. The West have the United Nations. So we say, hey, man, we in the belly of the beast already. We need our own peace. Let's make the National Solidarity Committee.
Beautiful, beautiful. Let me play a track real quick, brother. Take a quick one.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Audio check 1, 2, 3. All of a big respect to my like Bojo Bantan and the old song. Much of the place that I've got.
Well, here come my cool song straight up in the T-Town of Stone Down. I Bojo Bantan Triple Down. Yeah, I'm getting used to me. Just down. Lion rule the jungle, we don't fear. Burn like Gibraltar, I'll raise the fear. From the cheetah and the elephant, I won't get scared. If I should be angry, then I'll get afraid. I know anything me eat, I'll forget your regular beard. Use a free IG roots in first aid. Instinct and ability, A100. Physical agility, that's how me gonna go there. So try cut off the lion's mane. Wake up sleeping lion, then you shall feel the pain. Yeah, send me no one you over and over again. Difficulty chapter, now go take them. Born accustomed to the tropical rain. Roar! Take me young to grow, I will stop at the serpent to protect the old. Lion light the fire so the vibes can cold. Warriors behind the songs when the tongue man of old. Teaching the world with power and sound. In high places, low places, I come around. Tell all the hypocrisy come down. Expose themselves over all around. I'm with the band and this one is the sound. I come to teach the world about the original sound. Round that stairs, don't go to the end, don't come back around. It's up on the rhythm and I chant. Hey, lion or roar and people start to tremble. King said the lion is just something we're humble. Just hear the lion and feed him with food. Don't be out of order and don't you ever be rude. Lion jump down, lion of him paw. Lion shot down, go anywhere he want. 14 corners all over the earth. See him so the lion a move. Lion rule the jungle without fear. Burn like Gibraltar, I'll be at the beer. From the teeth, the elephant I won't have scared. If I should get angry, they all would be afraid. I know anything me eat me, I forget a regular bed. Use a B.I.G. rule to first aid. Instinct and ability, A1 grade. Physical agility, that's my nigga name. Who dare to try cut off the lion's mane. Wake up, sleeping lion, you shall be in the bed. Send me no one over and over again. Difficulty capture, now go take them bang while accustomed to the tropical plain. Murder style, now we come my snake to do play the part of the bass. I know what the man says, son.
Yeah, yeah, that's what they're doing all the time. Lord,
what the man says,
that's what they're doing all the time.
Ah, that was brilliant. No matter if that was put to bangs and live inside the ocean. What a DJ we can start.
Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here on Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, my voice still kind of messed up. You know, the urgency of us going ahead and, you know, make it that solidarity movement, okay? That's what I'm going to go ahead and tag on to this, you know, to the National Solidarity Committee. That most recent verdict with Trayvon Martin, you know, that bugged a whole lot of us. And I just don't see why a lot of us didn't pick up onto that we need to really go ahead and do something. But the bootlickers, the house niggas came out, you know, the people that do appease you and keep you quiet, they came out in force. And I don't see shit they doing, you know, just like I said, with this 50-year thing with Martin Luther King. The only one really that I can go ahead and kind of identify with was John Lewis. Know, get out, make noise, and rattle some cages, and go in. You know, just what you said about Frederick Douglass. He pretty much said the same thing. But here in Chicago, I just can't understand why anybody would go ahead and go that route. You know, all you know was Trayvon Martin. Well, almost everybody here, especially black in Chicago, has been affected by somebody that's been murdered in this goddamn city.
Right.
That shit is fucking amazing me how you can go ahead and you jump on board and get out there and protest about this. But almost everybody black in this goddamn city knows somebody directly related to them, or they know somebody that's been killed in this city. But they ain't coming out in force about the stopping of this shit.
Right.
I mean, you place your value system on a lot of bullshit. And I don't get what the fuck does it take for you to go here and wake up? You know, where are all the Trayvon Martin shits going on right now? Nowhere.
Right. You know,
ain't nobody saying a goddamn thing here. So my next show is just basically going to be dealing with where are all these Trayvon Martin supporters today? Where are all that fucking protests right now? Especially in Chicago, you fucking hypocrites and weak-ass bastards. Where the fuck y'all at? And I was saying this from the fucking beginning. that, hey, look, you know, Trayvon Martin thing was a sad fucking thing. It's sad. It's horrible. Another black baby being killed. That's sad. But don't overlook the fact that, hey, look, the murder rate in Chicago has been high for going on 40 fucking years, and ain't nobody done a goddamn thing about it. Nothing. Almost everybody said they're doing something that made profits off this shit. We got this gang truce. I mean, I'm so sick of that shit, man. I wasn't even in Chicago. I was in California, and I kept hearing about gang truces out there in fucking California. I'm like, man, y'all ain't doing shit. The only thing you're doing is you're going to go ahead and put together a little program, go ahead and get some money, get some grant money, go ahead, and you're going to go ahead and take 70 to 80% of the fucking money, then the program going to run out after 2 or 3 years.
Exactly.
So my next show going to be devoted just strictly dealing with shit, these fucking hypocrites who pocketed and profited off the fucking pain of people with this Trayvon Martin thing. Because that shit made me sick as fuck, and I'm still pissed off about that. And people were criticizing me and talking shit, and I kept saying, you're going to go back to doing the same old fucking thing. I was in a barbershop when that verdict came down. I'm saying, black folks ain't going to do shit. They're going to do the same old fucking thing, and they're just going to go ahead and turn their backs and go ahead and allow this shit to happen, and shit sue as fuck. Later on that night, some motherfuckers that had been in the barbershop came up killed.
Yep.
What the fuck were you? That shit happened miles away. First off, you're gonna have to concentrate on right here first. What's happening here? This is a bigger issue than the Trayvon Martin thing. They killing us because you killing us. You killing us by going ahead and allowing motherfuckers do this shit to us, and your inactivities is going ahead and killing us. That shit's fucking amazing me. I just can't understand why a lot of people go ahead and sit back and go ahead and let this shit happen, because you're gonna go ahead and not turn you're gonna not go ahead and. I would turn in some of these motherfuckers at this point. I'm sorry to say, but I have to. If you want to go ahead and break the white man's rules, I'm going to push your ass out there to the white man. Go ahead. That's the shit you want to do, you can stay with him.
A lot of us use that as a catalyst. You know, it's something like being the ambulance chaser. You know, this is the focus of the day. It's going to be the focus of the next month, you know. But again, you know, I used to always say, a lot of us, man, you know, we want to be seen. We want to be heard. And we want to stand up in front of the podium. We want to stand out there, take a picture in the newspaper, take a picture, you know, in different people's newspapers, and say that you in the movement, you know. I'm in the movement, man. I'll be out there in the streets, you know, just because you done went to a couple of protests, you went to a couple of marches, don't mean that you in the struggle. You know, that's not what that means, you know. And so, unfortunately, man, we, you know, a lot of us, we use that Trayvon Martin piece to, complain about what's going on. But then again, where's our own defensive force that could stop a Trayvon Martin from happening on a daily basis? Especially like you say, here in Chicago, you know, it's sad to say, but I'm going to have to say it, man. You know, we got cats here like the Nation of Islam, hundreds of people, hundreds of brothers out here, you know, in the Nation of Islam. But my question has always been, you know, why these brothers ain't in the streets? Why is there no units? You know what I'm saying? Whether it's with the Nation, whether it's with other organizations that got hundreds of members, lots of cats within the realms of their organization, why isn't there no solidified effort on their part to hit the streets at different times? Even if that meant, okay, we got a group out here from 6 to 8. Then after 6 to 8 comes another group from 9 to 10. And I said that to one of the brothers, and I know a lot of cats in the Nation, man, that all think like that. Like, man, we need to do more out in the street. You know, they got protocols, they got what they got, but then at the same time, look at our community, man. You know, and it's a lot of cats within organizations like that who got access to these street brothers. You know what I'm saying? That's where they came from. They came from the streets. You know, they got access to these street brothers. My thing has always been, I told the brother one day last week, I said, you know, what's really sad is if the minister was walking and he was on 79th and Cottage Grove and some idiot decided to come up to the minister and say, man, you know, I don't like you, dude, such and such. He's about to go down on this corner, homie. You know, one of his security guards just had to make one phone call and that whole corner be flooded with thousands of niggas in bow ties, suits, you know what I'm saying? One phone call, man, if somebody,
man, I
if
laugh,
somebody
but it's
made
true.
That, You know what I'm saying? If somebody threatened that man like that, and he just walking those 7 nights at cottage or something like that, you know, and he fighting by his security or what have you, or some idiot came up, man, and just was like, man, I can't stand you, brother. I think you had something to do with this. I think you had something to do with that. Nigga, it's on, because you ain't leaving this block. Man, like I said, them guards, one phone call, man, the whole damn block be lit up with thousands of niggas hanging off trees and roofs with bow ties on and suits. You know what I'm saying? Because they gonna protect that man. But see, the thing is, that same call that could be made in that type of situation to protect that brother could be the same call that could be made in the situation for a little Janiyah, for a baby girl that was shot, for Hadiyah Pendleton, for brothers like Trayvon, for all the brothers and sisters that's out here, man, when that situation occurred, when threats occurred, when lives have been taken. We need our brothers to be out here, man, and soldier the field. We did that. You know what I'm saying? Brothers within the realms of the National Solidarity Committee. It was times where we took 8 brothers out and would literally do a 24-hour surveillance in certain spots. You know, if brothers had to go to work, we set it up where it was a time frame. This group will be out there from this time to this time. Brothers had walkie-talkies. Brothers had, you know what I'm saying, we had the necessary, whether it was snacks, whether it was water, whether it was tools, all types of stuff, man. We had the necessary survival kit for 24-hour surveillance. We had cameras. We had audio. We had video. We had all that. You know what I'm saying? And if a certain situation happened on a particular block, the news was called and a certain something went down, we was there. We stayed out there 24 hours. I might go, you know, I might have a shift from 10 to 12 at night. You know what I'm saying? 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Some other brother come from 12 a.m. to 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. And if he can stay out even longer, he'll stay out there for 6 to 8 hours. Then another brother come. You see what I'm saying? Just having that constant need, you know. Our sisters walking to school in the morning, getting raped on bus stops. You know what I'm saying? There should be brothers out there constantly, man, just walking. Just walking. Because, again, my thing is this, and it's not to take away, because I love the minister. I love what they bring to us within the realms of the Nation of Islam, just like many other organizations. I love what they do. But when we have resources, when we got numbers like that, if we could make a phone call and it's a call out to come to a particular program because the minister is speaking and hundreds of niggas could come out to hear the minister speak, or hundreds of niggas could come out on the street to sell final calls, to sell bean pies, to do all this other stuff, why can't hundreds of brothers be called to help guard our sisters going to and fro from school, to and fro from works, helping the elderly, making sure they don't get attacked? These certain things that just could be happening, man, with strategy. So when you have brothers out here, like Minister Raheem in the Temple of Mercy, I applaud these brothers. They might have few in numbers, but you take his few in numbers doing what he do in the community with the very few numbers that he do in different communities, doing surveillance in these communities, helping to protect these communities, you know, making sure that the sisters and the brothers are safe. And these are few in numbers compared to the hundreds of people within the realms of these other organizations that we just don't see. You know, and if we do see them, it's because of a special call out, you know, that we just going to do on this particular day, you know, and meet and greet. But then there's no continuity in it. We need continuity. We need to sit down, strategize, and build with not just the nation. We need to build with the Black Panther Party. We need to build with all our soldiers out here, man, and create our own defensive force and make it have continuity 24 hours a day.
Thank you, brother, and call in.
And I know I'm going to have some flack. You know, somebody will call in, man. I'm in the nation. I'm such and such, such and such. It's not about offending no brother in the Nation of Islam. It's not about offending your platform. It's not about offending none of that. But if we're going to be real and really have this conversation about our people and protecting our people, the reality of it is, anytime you got numbers, anytime you got a main source, a main pipeline of resource, it has to be utilized. It has to be. But then at the same time, your organization is not important. What's important is the masses of the people. And if the people feel like certain aspects need to be in the realms of the community, That's where we have to go. We have to go where the people feel as though we have to go. You know, now, some people will sit back and say, well, the people don't know what they want. The people do know what they want. It's about surveying the people, sitting back, taking a survey, what do we need? If the people, if the vast majority of our people sit back and say, man, we need our own, you know, we need to start policing our own communities. We need to, you know, make sure this and that goes on, man, because, you know, if some brothers see another brother in the street, man, they you know, they move to the side, like, man, put that away, man, here come them brothers, you know, and they have respect for that. This is what the people want. So if the people want little simple things such as, man, we need to just police our own communities and let there be a presence in the community that we kept, let there be a presence in the community that there are brothers and sisters walking around in the community, man, that we can run to, you know, for help. Because my aunt used to tell me all the time, my aunt and my uncle, back in the 60s, man, the late 60s, the early 70s, my uncle used to always say, man, we never called the police. He said, back in the day, if anything happened on the block, them brothers from the Black Panther Party or them brothers from the Nation of Islam took care of whatever was going on the community. It wasn't no such thing as abusing those sisters, because them brothers in the Panthers was going to get at you. Them brothers in the bow ties, them brothers in the Nation of Islam was going to get at you, because that wasn't allowed in the community. That was just communal law. Certain shit just did not go down in the community because you had to face them brothers. You either had to face them brothers with a beret on, or you had to face them brothers with the bow ties on. My uncle said, only time we called the police is if they needed a coroner. That's it. Only time was if you needed a coroner. Other than that, we took care of the communities. We put the law down in the community, and that was coming from both sides of those organizations. Why? Because they took care of their people. And anytime you walked outside, you knew you had access to one or two of them organizations. We got to get back to that. It has to be, when we walk outside our doors, there's a representative of your people outside you got access to.
Brother called in. Hey, brother, you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. You had two things moving around in the background. I had to go ahead and take care of that real quick.
Okay. I'm sorry I'm late getting in, but we had a candlelight vigil for I'm on a college campus. I'm on Chicago State University campus, and there's a brother who got murdered that you know, we had a candlelight vigil for a. He was on 95th and I believe Commercial, and he was murdered. Cat tried to rob him.
See that? Let me say this, brother. Now, see, I'm gonna do another show. As a matter of fact, let's do this show tomorrow. And that's what we were just talking about, on how, you know, how the community acted to Trayvon Martin, but they ain't dealing with the over 30, close to 40 years of murders in the community. How people came out for that. Where they at right now?
The thing that disturbed me is that the vigil. You had this representative who I guess he'd been standing in for Pastor Corey Brooks. You had this ex-Marine speak in particular, and they just kept talking about how, you know, God allowed this and God allowed that and God this and God that, and you know, and Jesus say when it's time, it's your time to go. And you know, and it was disturbing because if you say this, to say this is basically saying, well, maybe, all right, well, let's just say fuck it. Let's just not do nothing in the community. Let's just not do shit and just, you know, because God allowed this, you know. And it's real disturbing to me, you know. And this attitude is the dominant attitude a lot in our community, which was actually a condition and a mind state that was put on us by the slave master, you know, while they used to rape the shit out of our daughters and our wives and beat the shit out of us and work us to death in the field. They tell us, Joe, don't worry about it. You're going to get your pie in the sky. You're going to heaven, boy. You know what I'm saying? And this is that attitude has perpetuated a sense of a lack of responsibility. Like, are we, you know, we just basically better play. I mean, it was cat out there said, yeah, we just need to read our Bible and pray. And I'm just like, what the hell? What is going on? So, you know, I had to get up there and speak as far as.
Yeah, that pacification. What we talked about earlier, Brother Rob, that pacification.
Oh, man, I hate to laugh at a tragic situation, but it's like, man, dude, I eat him up with that, man. I just like, you know, how is that really going to go ahead and help us solve this shit? How is that going to go ahead and stop that brother who killed this brother from going ahead and killing the next brother or sisters out here?
Exactly.
Tell me, explain to me how that's going to go ahead and stop this cycle of violence. It's going to go ahead, you go ahead, turn your head, and just like, you know, like shooting fish in a barrel. You know, you wait for the next motherfucker to go ahead and die. You go ahead, you explain that for that shit you just said. I don't accept that because I go in there looking like that. What would happen if it was somebody that you was next to? This cat that was an ex-Marine probably would have been like, oh, no, I'm going to kill him.
Exactly.
So you can't go ahead and tell nobody to go ahead and sit back, sit on your hand that God's just in God's hand. That's some bullshit. That's some straight-up bullshit that we need to stop.
That's the hypocritical thing about it, him being a Marine, a Marine of all services. You know, first to go, last to know. I mean, they train these cats, just kill, kill, kill. And it's all about going to kill for whatever Uncle Sam tell you to go kill for, whether it's the proper cause or not, whether they have anything to do with anything or not. But then in our communities, we just supposed to just say, just pray and read your Bible. You know, well, next time they say, let's go to Syria or let's go to Iraq or let's go to Afghanistan, tell them, no, you ain't got, we ain't got to go there. Just read your Bible and pray, motherfucker. I mean, you know, it's like, it's so hypocritical. You know, we're the only ones who's saying this. We're the only ones who using this religion as a crutch. Where he got the Ku Klux Klan, the most violent organization that has faced America, they say they claim to be Christians too, but that ain't stopping them. That ain't stopping them at all from getting it in, okay? And they getting it in on a very violent level. It don't stop them from getting their ass out here and making whatever their goal is, making this shit happen, okay? Regardless of what we want to say about them, they out here. They after they finish praying, they put that shit aside. And they get it in. They get out here and get in. Like, what is I believe in the Quran says, trust in Allah, but tie up your camel. Okay? Now, that's some serious wisdom for you. You know, that's even the creator, and I have to say my disclaimer, you know, when we speak about creator and all, those are my personal views. These are not the views a National Solidarity Committee or the North Black Panther Party, but I will say this, speaking from a personal point of view, you know, the creator is wise in the sense that, you know, even the creator ain't talking about just pray to me and I'm going to set you free. You know what I'm saying? The creator say, what is the Bible says, prayer without works is fruitless. Okay, the Quran says, trust in Allah, but tie up your camel. So these are all, ain't no God saying none of this stuff. So I don't know where this has come from. It got to be coming from the slave master to tell us to just pray and, you know, our problem's going to be solved. Just pray and read your Bible and be a good boy. I mean, you know, it's crazy, but I came in on the ass end of the conversation. I really must have missed something.
They read their Bible, but they pass that ammunition too.
Exactly. You know, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.
Right.
what I missed it, but because I was in the candlelight vigil. I missed the part. What did I miss? Because right when I came in, all I heard was the brother saying that I know some of them gonna call in. And then I was like, uh-oh.
We were talking about, you know, forming our own defense in the community. you know, and like I was telling the brother, you got these organizations out here, they got numbers. For example, like the Nation of Islam, you know, and I was giving the brother a scenario. I said, hey, we got so much going on out here in the community that if you had an example, if Minister Farrakhan was walking down the street on 79th and Cottage Grove, you know, and some cat walked up to him, you know, some idiot walked up to him and was like, man, you know, I don't like you, man. You know, all your dudes around you. You know what I'm saying? I think you got something to do with such and such. I think you got something to do with this and that. You know, nigga, you ain't leaving the block. One of his security men, all they got to do is pick up the phone, make one phone call. It'd be thousands of niggas in bow ties and suits flanked on 79th and Cottage. You know what I'm saying? They come there, they do that. Why? So they can secure the minister. They going to make sure he leave the block. You're going to deal with all these brothers and these bow ties, and they going to go down. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a fight to whatever. You know, however, I gave the scenario, just as well as they can make that phone call to flank the corner to protect the minister, why can't we make phone calls to flank the corners and have a 24-hour surveillance around the clock, even in shifts, you know, for our people? And again, I was letting the brother know, you know, we did that. Even when we had just like six cats that could do this as far as the surveillance,
exactly.
We did 24-hour shifts. You know, somebody might have had to go to work, but guess what? You know, he did 2 hours at this time, so-and-so came in. If I did 10 to 12, somebody came from 12 to 2 or 12 to 3 or however long he could stay out there, and we did shifts. And that just goes to show that if you could take a small group of individuals who's sincere, who has that camaraderie with each other, and they can do surveillance in the community, they can help protect the community, then imagine what you could do when you got thousands of brothers and sisters in the organization who's sitting docile, waiting to do something, who just want to get out there and do something and should be doing something. So I was talking about that with the brother, as well as at the same time, we have to understand with these organizations, you say you for the people, and if you say you represent the people, that means the way you move has to be based on some type of has to be based with some type of decision that the people have made. And so, if we survey the people and we ask the people what is needed within the realms of the community, most of the people, when it comes to a defensive strategy, most of the people, when you survey the masses, most of our people will sit back and say, we need to police our own community. We need to have our own defensive force in the community. Now, if the people could ask that, what's stopping us from doing that? You see what I'm saying? That's something that if we say we represent the people, and this is what we did, members of the Nation of members of the National Solidarity Committee, members of the Black Panther Party, we said, man, we did a survey. This was one of the things that the people wanted. People wanted us to go from this particular area to this particular area. They wanted to make sure, but not only were we making sure that they were safe, they was making sure we were safe. And it was respect in that from the community to see these brothers out there doing what they had to do. However, it has to be continuity. So if you got hundreds of cats out there, it can't be no meet and greet on a Monday, you know, and then we don't see you no more, you know, and you know, it's back to business as usual out on the streets. No. Because the one thing about an organization like the Nation, you get a group of brothers, 10 brothers walking down the block, that's automatic respect in the community. That's man, hey, man, put that up. Here come them brothers, man. Here come them brothers. You know what I'm saying? That's psychologically in our head that's going. But when you don't have that continuity and when you make the people feel as though you just putting on a show, we have to understand you may think one way, but the people think another way. And if the people feel as though, man, this is they putting on a show, or man, they just want somebody to join, or man, they just want to come out and listen to the minister, or they just want this, or they just want that. That's something you never want the people to start thinking about you, especially when you say you represent the people. You never want the people to have a negative vibe about you in the way of dealing with them, because the people, all they want is access to you. They want access to you and how to strategize and build tactics with them. But most importantly, the people want continuity. They want to see this continue 24/7, if possible, 24/7, because that will help change their minds and their attitudes on how they're going to move forward when they see something already being established with continuity.
There you go. Hey, I got another caller. Brother Commander, you there?
Okay. What's up, Brother Chef?
Hotel.
It's been a while.
Hotel.
Been a while, brother. You know, yeah. Basically, you know, I was trying to go ahead and introduce people to the National Solidarity Committee. We were just having a conversation. So what we were last talking about was, hey, look, you know, what happened to that, you know, that defense force? You hear what the brother was just talking about?
Yeah, I was listening very closely. Yeah, I did. I heard him, and I understand what he's saying.
Could you chime in on that for a minute?
I only heard a small portion. You know, you saw when I came here. But from what he's saying, is that you can't go against the people and what they really want. And I think what our issue is, and I've talked about this, you know, in other places as well, is our code of conduct has got to be collectively worked out and decided. We got to create some kind of regular process everywhere we exist to where our code of conduct becomes uniform.
Exactly.
And I think that will give us the basis for forming a government, for getting anything done, anything.
Right. And this is what I dealt with earlier, beloved brother, in having that platform that we can all agree to. And as we stated, you know, within the realms of the National Solidarity Committee, we don't negate no organization. If you're from a particular organization, come on in. If you're from a tribe, come on in, because all we're about doing is building that structure, that structural component that's going to unify us so that we can communicate on the same level, just like what you're talking about. You know, if we got various individuals coming in, why shouldn't we have our own department of education? Why shouldn't we have our own department of agriculture? Why shouldn't we have our own department of public affairs? You know, if we got all these organizations out here, what's stopping us from truly solidifying ourselves and take what we have in resources and building from there to begin the process to build this nation up? That's where you get that uniformity, because you can take, for example, if you take a school like the Freedom Home Academy, which is headed up by Brother Marcus Klein, brother doing an excellent job over there. You take his school. You take many other schools, because there's building on as far as private schools. Why can't we take that particular school, Dr. Umar Abdullah Johnson, he's creating a school. Why can't we take brothers like that, bring them together, and create our own curriculum? Not negate their school, keep their school, let them build what they're doing in the communities as it relates to our people, but then we bring and solidify to create a curriculum where we can galvanize the masses of our children, help expand these private schools that's really for our people, really dealing with the freedom and liberation of our people, help expand them, and we create our own Department of Education. We don't have to go through the Chicago public school system or whoever's public school system in various cities. We got our own. We teach our people, you know, to take them out of the public school system. We give you the curriculum, the tools. We teach you how to train your children. We have you do homeschools off the curriculum that we created as a mass of people. Or if we at that point where we big enough to really galvanize the rest of our children, you put them in our schools. But until we get to that point where we have enough capacity to really galvanize the masses of our children, we give you the tools and the resources for you to have homeschool your own children.
Beautiful thing. We need to get that brother on. Need to contact that brother, because I want to talk to him soon.
Definitely. You know, and it's not hard, man. You know, we sit back and we say, man, you know, it's hard. It may seem hard, but it's really not. At the end of the day, brother, as I stressed throughout the show, it's all about these jealousy, man, the envy, the pride. If we push that to the side, man, and just realize, you know, I hear so much in the conscious community, you know, man, hey, God, you know, we all gods. Hey, God, you know, but, you know, at the end of the day, man, it seems like we only look at certain people as gods. We only look at certain people, you know, as if they could only receive some type of divine blessing. And again, as the brother stated, you know, this is my disclaimer. You know, this is my personal views.
You know, this has nothing to do with the National Solidarity Committee or Black Panther Party. You know, but when we have a lot of cats in the conscious community, man, and, you know, we greet each other with, hey, God, then we need to start looking at each other like that then. You know, just as well as you can bring a blessing to the community, you know, allow another brother to do it, allow another sister to do it, and then we can truly build, you know, that supreme right there with all of us being galvanized together, not just a particular person, you know, or any one particular individual, because we all got it within us, man, to build this nation. And I say, man, let's build this National Solidarity Committee. If we really sincere, we want to build a nation, let's galvanize. What's stopping the Moore Science Temple of America from saying, hey, man, you know, I'm with you, brothers. You know, we want to help educate our people on the law, you know. That's cool, you know. If people want to join the Moore Science Temple of America, let them join. But their main specific goal, you know, you ask them, we survey the people, their main thing is, man, them cats move with that law stuff, man. Them cats move, man. They can break down that law, man, real talk. So if we know that, if we disagree with any other thing in the Moors, but we all agree that they heavy on the law, we all agree that they can really, man, hit it when it comes to that law, then why not take that aspect from them and let them galvanize our people in the educational process as it relates to the law? If we disagree with aspects of the nation, that's cool. But what we all agree on with the nation, they discipline. Them niggas know how to discipline, man. They all discipline, man. They discipline as hell. If we agree with that, let them deal with that aspect, that the morality aspect of our people. You know, let's you know, we got to be real with that. Honorable Elijah Muhammad, man, he transformed so many cats from crackheads and drug dealers and alcoholics and prostitutes and you name it, man, to man, soldiers. You see what I'm saying? He got that done. Couldn't nobody else do that. He was doing that. So we have to take that positive aspect from what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad brought as it relates to the Nation of Islam. Take that positive aspect on on what the Moors bring. Take that positive aspect on what Chairman O'Malley, yes, Attila brings with Impedum, International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, as it relates to the socio-political, ideological theorizing, and that we gain that political education. You know, we have to take from all of our organizations that aspect that we agree on. And if we can take that aspect that we agree on from all of our organizations, sit down at the table and piece that together, you know, it's like I always say, man, if we go build this house, everybody can't be a plumber. Everybody can't be no damn electrician. Everybody can't be a carpenter. Some people have to do the different mechanisms. Either you're going to be a carpenter, either you're going to be an electrician, either you're going to be a plumber, either you're going to lay this drywall out, either you're going to paint, either you're going to lay the pipes, either you're going to lay this. It's somebody for every different mechanism of that house until we get that house built and sustained that we can move up in it. Until then, man, all that flip-flopping around thinking that everybody's supposed to be on the same, working on the same page, that's dead and gone, man. Ain't no such thing as we working on the same thing because we all not built for that. We all built for different mechanisms of this struggle, and that's what we have to understand and realize how we operate on.
Yeah, as long as, like Brad was saying, we might not be on the same page, but as long as we in the same book, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
That's really what it's about.
That's beautiful. That's what we're gonna do. Hey, brothers, we're gonna call this a quick show here. I want to go ahead and do a show tomorrow because I want to go ahead and touch on some of that. You know, all that support that people came on out for that Trayvon Martin piece, all that stuff this summer, and all that stuff, and where all that support for Trayvon Martin right now. You know, the Negro leadership did their job, keep you calm, don't go ahead and have you get out here and do something for yourself, because I don't see nothing else going on. Most recently with the 50-year anniversary of that King speech, you know, they came again and keep you calm. And so I'm going to go ahead tomorrow. I'll be playing some stuff from Martin Luther King and some other clips and some other articles tomorrow. Articles about where we should be, but also I want to go ahead and deal with, hey, look, Chicago has had a record-breaking numbers of murders. Yeah. Hold on, brother. You know, for every year for close to 40 years, and they ain't done shit about it. So I hope you brothers can come on out.
Most
I would like to hear your views about that.
Most
and, brother, Kmetra, you ain't been here. We ain't talked in a minute. So I want to go ahead and give me some closing arguments, closing statements about what you heard today.
Oh, go ahead, there, brother.
Brother Kemet.
Oh, you want me to go? Okay. And, you know, he who is late is always wrong. So I apologize for coming in late and being out of context. And I think that's really important to say first. But what I can say just from coming in shortly, you know, in a short time period, I can say that the one thing that both unifies us and the most effective thing that divides us the most, it unifies us in the worst negative way, and it divides us from all positive things happening. And that is what I call the Christian sensibility. The Christian sensibility is not someone who consciously says that they're Christian. You can say you're Christian or you can say you're not. We're talking about the program, the system of supremacy through the Christian sensibility, meaning every concept and idea is being filtered through a Christian form. That is what our people are divided with, and that is how we're going to get through all the different factions working together with their best talent, is by getting rid of and putting down that sensibility.
That's real talk, beloved.
Hey, Brother Kemet, what I want you to do is you can be here tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
You know, 9 o'clock Central Time, I want you to be here. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to go ahead and come with a book. It may be beneficial to go ahead and straighten that mind out. Because I know you got them
okay,
all. I know you got something that
you
can go ahead. One or two in particular that might go ahead and help out.
Okay. And I appreciate these brothers doing the work.
Thank you.
Right on, right on.
Brother Jakar, you there?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, brother. I'm going to give you, it's your turn. Chime in real fast.
Well, I just really want to say, you know, it's really just about applying the theory and the practice. We got the theory, and really it's just a matter of doing the work. You know, the work is going to outshine, and also the work is going to be part of our political education, because as you out there putting in the work, we begin to see it's like science. Revolution is a science. We begin to see trial and error, what works and what don't work. So we have to have the wisdom and ability to, when we see what does not work or what does work, we have to have the ability to distinguish the two and have enough sense to take that, get off of that ego shit and say, if we see something that don't work, we correct it. A lot of times what happens in our movements is we see something that don't work, but we just gonna try to force it to work the way we want it to work, when we have to understand that that's not how it's gonna happen. That's not revolution. What's revolution? Revolution is us correcting what's incorrect, correcting those ways that don't work. So that's all I want to say, brother. And power to the people.
Yes, sir. Yahoo.
Brother, what I want you to do, man, I got an assignment for you also, brother. You was over there at Chicago State, man. You know, I want to get that word out a little bit better. I sent you a text message. Did you get it?
Okay.
Yeah, just check a little bit, man. You see the message I sent you. I want you to go ahead and take care of that real quick, because you're on that part of town. You know, kind of hop me, get over there real quick.
Okay, brother.
Okay, brother Khan.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I want you to chime in. Go ahead and give me your thoughts and your views.
Oh, man. Well, you know, everything was said earlier, pretty much, man, you know, I'm going to end it with let's begin to build this nation, man. Let's put our components together, you know.
Okay.
Let's get away from the separate organizations, the separate tribes, separate parties, man. Let's put these components together. Can I say again, let's build this National Solidarity Committee. And let's move forward, you know. And email us at NSC, that's NSC _ Uhuru, Uhuru, at live.com. Again, that's NSC _ Uhuru at live.com, or reach us at 708 708-473-2315. Again, 708-473-2315. And let's build, man. Anybody that's sincere, sisters and brothers, let's build this nation. Let's put these components together. Let's put these resources together, because we all got work to do. We all got obligations, duties, and responsibilities. Nobody's left out on that end. Yuhuru.
Thanks, brother. I'd rather go ahead and see y'all here tomorrow.
Uhuru. Most definitely.
Want to see y'all here tomorrow, man. Let's do some stuff tomorrow, okay?
Most definitely. All right,
now.
Most definitely. All right, Yuhuru. Power to the people.
Thanks. Well, power to the people.
9 o'clock, 9 o'clock Central Time tomorrow. See you tomorrow. Peace.
Hey, love. I see my mama buying a ready cousin on the sunlight. He was the best to see the keys for from a rise, Lord. Oh, I see it every day. Right before my eyes. Another road boy, I get saved from another gun. And it's the teaching that he provides, the slaying of so much lies. But still stiff-necked fools wanna go their way. There is some rude boys hanging in the alley. And if you pass, let me say you're lucky. The trigger happy wanna prove him skills. They give him joke, quick, quick heal. Gangsters are living high, like they wanna touch the sky. And they don't care if another man leave or another man die. Who takes the life, don't bother leaving. Takes the life, don't bother leaving. But this is like a suit of clothes, I know everyone is seen. Who takes the life, don't bother leaving. But some men don't reach me. Many lives get saved by another gun.